Yes.
Your Honors, good morning. It's always such an honor for me to appear before this court.
Even you are the court.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Minkus.
Thank you.
No flattery.
It'll get me absolutely nowhere, I'm sure. But at any rate, Your Honor, I don't believe that this case, in my view, has any great legal issues. I don't believe that there are statutes to construe, et cetera. I think it's clearly a review, a dispassionate review of the testimony that was heard in this matter. It was, as these sorts of criminal cases go and motions to quash arrests and suppress evidence go, it was, I believe, extraordinary and unusual and highly fought and contested. And really what Mr. Huebner is asking this court to do is to review those facts, which I'm going to go over briefly.
I have to tell you, Mr. Minkus, I have never seen a case in which there was more evidence of probable cause.
Well, Your Honor, I clearly don't believe that that's the case.
You point to various discrepancies and this is and that, but I don't see how they're material.
Well, firstly, Your Honor, I would point to two...
Here's an informant who gives detailed information, all of which is extensively corroborated. They have an airplane and they have all these officers and they see your client with drugs and so on, you know, and all this... It's overwhelming.
Well, Judge, I
well, what's your strong? What is the strongest? What is the discrepancy that you regard as the strongest counter to the government's evidence?
There are numerous, Your Honor.
Well, I'll settle for one.
Well, let me just tell you two things. The first thing I would point Your Honor to is the statement. I think a very telling statement by the magistrate in this case that there was that the best way that he could characterize the testimony in this case is that it had a kernel of truth. I'm sure that Your Honor noted that from the briefs and from the record in this case. I don't believe that the magistrate, who I think it's fair...
I don't think that's what he meant.
No, Your Honor, I believe that that is...
Well, let's look at the context of it.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I believe certainly in context, Your Honor, that that is a fair characterization.
You haven't attached his opinion, as you're supposed to under Rule 30, to your brief.
Well, Your Honor, I would also point, Your Honor, to the fact that the...
Well, Rule 30 does require you to attach, as part of your appendix, the opinion that you're challenging, not just the final judgment. So anyway, what was the context of the kernel remark?
The magistrate in this case, in reviewing all of the evidence, after this matter was highly contested, I think I'm fairly characterizing his statement that the testimony of Officer Detective Yashimura and Harris left a lot to be desired, but that they still had, that the testimony still had a kernel of truth. The first thing that I would point Your Honor to in this court to is that by the magistrate's own observation, all we had here was a kernel of truth.
He doesn't say that. He says the kernel of crucial information regarding the drug transaction, together with an observation of Huebner's Jeep and his trip to a storage warehouse. And then he goes on and discusses other evidence.
Well, Your Honor, I obviously want you to see or at least fairly characterize the use of the word kernel as having been telling.
Says the combination of all these factors establishes probable cause.
Your Honor, I would also ask Your Honor to review the fact that the district court judge in this case, after reviewing the transcript here, took the rather unusual step of asking that the testimony, or not only that arguments be reopened, but that the entire testimony...
Look at all this evidence, though. The aerial surveillance and the checks of the addresses.
Your Honor, the aerial surveillance observed nothing. Observed nothing. The DEA agent who decided to, in our estimation, strongly jump the gun in arresting Mr. Huebner at the storage facility, saw nothing. She did not see him with contraband. She did not see him with drugs. The aerial surveillance saw nothing. Detective Yashimura, to point to just one factor here, Your Honor, at the second hearing, and I think it's important for this court to look at the very probing and skillful cross-examination that was done by the district court himself of the witnesses in this case, which we thought was very probative. The district court got the Detective Yashimura to suddenly remember, all of a sudden at the second hearing, that in fact the informant who they relied upon for this information was not released on the first night of questioning, but rather was kept there all night, and for the better...
Well, Cardella made a positive accusation against your client, and there was ample corroboration of Cardella's reliability.
Judge,
And the defendant was observed in all sorts of suspicious activity.
I don't know.
So what more do you need,
Judge? I don't know what that suspicious activity is that you're referring to. There wasn't any suspicious activity. The only surveillance that was done of him on the day in question was him going to a flower shop outside of Lake Geneva. There was no suspicion.
Well, he went to the storage locker, whatever it was.
Your Honor, the storage locker, which they did not know about, all that the agents in this case knew, all that the testimony revealed, was that the informant said that on one occasion, Mr. Huebner left and came back minutes later. He didn't even use the word storage facility or storage unit in the testimony in this case, let alone say it was 10 or 15 minutes away. So all that the agent in this case sees, Your Honor, is that Mr. Huebner drove his car to a storage facility. At the storage facility, he sees, that agent sees nothing, nothing. The aerial surveillance, the observations amount to nothing. The informant in this case provided virtually nothing. He provided a name, he provided a physical description, and he provided a vague address where Mr. Huebner lived, which I hasten to add was not corroborated. They didn't even go into the lobby to see whether he lived there. He described the defendant, Mr. Huebner, as driving a Lexus. Lo and behold, they get to the home in Lake Geneva, owned not by Mr. Huebner but by his father, and they see a Jeep, a black Jeep Cherokee, that the informant had never seen nor certainly not mentioned. There is...
Except that I thought the informant said that he conducted drug deals while driving a dark or black Cherokee Jeep. Wasn't that the informant that said that?
Judge Williams,
And then they found the Jeep at the Wisconsin residence.
No.
Judge, did you think that day?
Judge, my reading of the record, my recollection of the record is that the informant, Mr. Cardella, told the police officers only that he had seen a Lexus and that he drove a Lexus. There was no notes whatsoever relating to a Jeep Cherokee. And let me just lastly point Your Honors out what I think is an important detail. The easiest way to corroborate the phone numbers that was allegedly provided by the informant in this case was to either have notes or to have the phone. We have neither. And again, I absolutely ask that Your Honors specifically review the probing questioning on the part of the district court here, who was incredulous himself as to the lack of any notes in this case. And he finally, again, only at a second hearing, gets one of the detectives to admit, well, when he was talking, I was writing on my hand. That's the first time that ever came up. There was no corroboration here whatsoever. None.
No corroboration, really, Mr. Minkus.
Well, where are you getting that?
Extravagant.
You're sort of exaggerating.
That might be an extravagant claim, but I certainly don't think there was enough corroboration to justify a finding of probable cause here. Again, I ask you to review the facts in the case. I certainly ask you to review the second hearing conducted by the district court. We believe that the facts were insufficient to justify a finding of probable cause, and I think, in truth, the magistrate, having described the testimony offered as having a kernel of truth and validity, was not only just a telling statement, but I think adequately and accurately describe the testimony that was heard.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Kraft?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Judge Williams, Judge Posner, and Judge Coffey. I'm here on behalf of the government this morning. I was not the attorney at the lower level where this case was heard, but I would assert that, Judge Posner, you are correct. The evidence in the record that was created by that attorney is overwhelming in support of probable cause to stop and arrest Mr. Huebner on the day that, I believe it was the 21st that occurred. I can point the court to the magistrate's decision. It is in our appendix,
right,
in our brief,
right,
at page 10. And the magistrate does not say that he finds the agents to be incredible. He does not. He finds that their recollection of events has much to be desired. He finds that it's surprising that they cannot remember some of the events involving their contact with the informant. But he says, nonetheless, the kernel of crucial information, not just a kernel of truth, which was presented by the agent, but what I understood him to be saying was the core of information that was presented was very compelling, and that coupled with the other information that the agents were able to generate, there was just ample evidence that supported probable cause for how it was Agent Hare, actually, from the DEA, eventually acted on that day. I also want to, in response to counsel's assertions that the evidence is different than was represented, say that, in fact, at page 19 of the first hearing transcript, the bottom of the page, the testimony was, in fact, that Mr. Cardella had described the defendant as conducting his drug deals in a black Cherokee Jeep, a dark-colored Jeep. And the court will also find in other portions of this record, and I can't point to it specifically, that a check was done, and it was determined that that particular black Cherokee Jeep, which the agents observed when they did the airplane surveillance and the other surveillance of Mr. Huebner on the day of his arrest, was in fact registered to him. The informant also said that he owned a Lexus, did not allege that he used a Lexus in drug dealing, but they also confirmed that Mr. Huebner owned a Lexus. They confirmed point after point after point of the information that was given to them by the informant. They also confirmed the future predictions. The informant was waiting at the brat stop, the truck stop, for the drug deal to occur. They made the observations of the defendant leave his home at a time approximately a half an hour from that when that meeting was to take place. It would have probably taken about a half an hour to get to that based on that location based on their observations. They didn't arrest him at the nursery when he went there for flowers because they could see that he was not involved in any conduct that looked like it was related to drug trafficking at that time. But they did arrest him after he went to the storage shed because that was consistent with the information that they had received from the informant. Now, I believe the informant didn't say storage shed, but he told the agents that the defendant kept his drugs somewhere away from his home in Lake Geneva, approximately 10 or 15 minutes away. And so when they followed him to this storage shed and saw him linger there, coupled with all of the information that they had, there was certainly adequate probable cause for them to believe that he was engaging in the activity that was going to culminate in the transfer of drugs to their informant at the brat stop that day. The evidence, Judge Posner, as you said, is overwhelming, and we're asking the court to affirm the district court's decision on this case entirely.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kraft. Mr. Minkus, how much time does he have? No time. Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, so the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.